Hello, everybody. How are you doing, Pastor Mackenzie Kambizi? So glad that we are now. We have begun the final week of this month as we get ready to launch into the month of May, the fifth month. And as we go on, I just want to encourage you to progress on purpose. And I just have some principles, some anchors that I think will bless you and I as we finish off this month and as we enter into the new month. Thank you so much, my friends, for coming. I am so grateful that you are here. I'm so grateful that you're here. I see my mother, Black. She's here with us. Thank you, Mom, for coming. I want us to just about talk a little bit on progress on purpose today. I just want to anchor this thought that we have for the next few minutes on avoiding mistakes on purpose, avoiding mistakes on purpose, avoiding mistakes on purpose. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And how can we try to avoid them on purpose? And let's pray. Father, give us wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If there's one thing that is an enemy, or it can either be an enemy or you can make it a friend in life as a human being, is this simple thing called mistake. We all make mistakes. We shall make mistakes. We have made mistakes. Every one of us, we will make mistakes. But as we are getting older and as we are making mistakes on a daily basis, are we getting better? Are we learning anything about this thing called mistakes? We will make mistakes. So I just want to share with us as we go into the final week of this month, getting into the next month. I'm on an assignment, on a personal assignment of evaluating life and looking at principles that I can anchor the second half of my life. You know, I just want to live the rest of my life on principles and values. I've discovered that I'm trying to simplify my life to where, you know, I have principles and values that anchor every decision for the rest of my remaining years on this earth. I just want to simplify it so that I can maximize my progress and my success. So I want to talk to us on this one, how to overcome making mistakes on purpose. That's what we want to talk about. There's a story that many of us know. If you are a Christian, you may know this story. Here on Progress on Purpose, we are practical, relevant, and biblical. We all have heard of the story of when a prayer was said by Joshua and God made the sun to stand still. We have heard this story when there was a fight and the fight was going on. It was serious. The sun was going down and Joshua had to pray that the sun would simply stop and stand still so that Joshua could finish the fight. But I want to take you to that passage of scripture where the sun was prayed to stand still. Have you ever stopped to wonder why? Who was he fighting? Why was he fighting? For whose benefit was Joshua praying for the sun to stand still for? I want you to understand, my friends, that it is an amazing thing. It's found in Joshua chapter 9. Two principles, that's to simplify, to maximize. Thank you, sir. That is wonderful. To simplify, to maximize. We can maximize by simplifying, overcoming mistakes on purpose. You'll find in Joshua chapter 9, there's a mistake that happened there. And it is that mistake that caused Joshua to fight and to pray the prayer, "Sun, stand still." Well, here it is. It is found in verse 14 and 15 of Joshua chapter 9. Read the whole chapter for you to understand the whole story. But for the sake of our presentation, chapter 14, verse 14 and verse 15 of Joshua chapter 9 has the principles that we need. It says, Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. Underline that. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them leave. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. Verse 16. And it happened at the end of 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt near them. When you read the whole chapter, you discover that when the Gibeonites came and met with Joshua, they lied to them. They lied to Joshua and the leaders who were with him, that when they started searching and looking for Joshua to meet with them on their way, their bread was fresh, their shoes were fresh, and now the bread was a cake and the shoes were damaged because they had been walking for years, for a long time, and a long distance for them to meet with Joshua. And then verse 14 says, Joshua and his men, because the Gibeonites didn't have the food, they gave them, took their provisions, gave them, but listen to this, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. In other words, they made a treaty, they made a covenant, they agreed to spare the Gibeonites, and here's the kicker, they did not seek counsel of the Lord. If they had sought counsel from God, they would have never gotten themselves into a covenant relationship, which they had no business being involved in. There was no need for the sun to be prayed to stand still because there was no covenant to preserve them if only they had asked the Lord of which way to go. I want to give you two principles. We will make mistakes. We all make mistakes. In fact, mistakes is confirmation that you are human. It's confirmation that you need the Lord. It's confirmation that you're making progress. We will make mistakes. It's what we do with those mistakes that will make them our enemies or make them our best friends. Many of us have become better after making mistakes, and other people could not rise after making mistakes. So two principles that will help you to simplify, to maximize making mistakes and dealing with mistakes on purpose. Two things. Number one, never assume what you can verify. Never assume what you can verify. In any aspect of your life, personal, professional, public, private, family, communal, whatever it is, never assume what you can verify. The whole chapter of Joshua chapter 9, it is what it is because Joshua assumed what you could verify. And it's amazing that he entered into a permanent relationship with a group of people. Come on, listen to me now. With a group of people that he could have discovered in 3 days. He could have known that they were his enemies. They were not to be trusted with peace. They were not to be entreated into any covenant. But because he assumed what he could verify by simply asking the Lord which way to go, Joshua got into a relationship that caused him to fight an unnecessary war. I want to challenge you in your life. What is it that's unnecessary that you're involved in right now? Unnecessary conflict, unnecessary trouble, and unnecessary arguments, unnecessary enemies because you assumed what you could have verified. Don't let anybody come into your life before you verify them. It matters. You need to understand. Don't give anybody position in your life before you verify the person of who they are in your life. It's amazing that we allow people to occupy the most powerful positions in our life and we haven't verified and we get disappointed 3 days later, get disappointed 2 weeks later, get disappointed 6 months down the years, get disappointed 1 year later. Why? Because you married this person, you assumed and you never verified and now you are in a relationship. You can't get out. You're fighting battles that are necessary because you assumed what you could have verified. This is extremely important. Never assume what you can verify. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Don't assume nothing. Don't assume anything. At this stage in my life, let me tell you something. I'm excited to be at this stage in my life. I've learned that everything can be verified. Everything can be verified. It's amazing that you read through scripture, you discover there are some people who even made God verify some things. Gideon, God comes to Gideon and God tells Gideon, you're a man of valor, you're a warrior. And Gideon says, God, I think we're making assumptions here. And God says, what do you have? He said, well, I've got this cordon that I'm working on. And God says, put it down on the ground. I'm going to verify that what I said is true. Naaman almost missed. Naaman in the Bible almost missed his blessing because he assumed, he said, I thought you would come and touch me and rob me. And he didn't even come out. And the servant simply said to him, sir, don't assume what you can verify. Just dip yourself in the water. If you don't become clean, you verify that he's a liar, then you do what you gotta do. Let me tell you something. Never assume what you can verify. Some of us have got friends who are not friends. We have got haters who come looking like friends because we assume we don't verify. What positive thing have they done in your life in this past year? When you were happy, what did they do? When you were sad, where were they? You can verify people's loyalty in your life. You can verify people's friendship in your life. It matters. I've discovered the Bible is full of unnecessary covenants and relationships that are never needed. Do you know that you and I are sinners today? Because Adam and Eve, they assumed what they could have verified. All they needed to do was to wait for God to come in the cool of the evening and ask God, we saw a serpent and he talked to us. Is it true? They could have verified that. And we right now will be in another state, in another world, and life would be so much. We can't even imagine what life would have been if only Adam and Eve had verified. And I want to challenge you right now, my friends. Those presence in your life is there because you are assuming. Some relationship can only work because you are functioning from assumption. When you verify, everything falls apart. So I want to challenge you today, just two principles as you end this month, enter into the next month. I'm just at a stage in my life where I'm grateful for everything. I'm thankful for the pain. I'm thankful for the joy. I'm grateful for the enemies. I celebrate the friends. I am at a stage in my life where I'm ready for the second half of my life. I must have learned something to be where I am because I discovered not everybody smiling means what they say. Not everybody saying you're a friend means what they mean. Why? Because I've learned to verify. You know how Jesus puts it in Matthew 7:20, by their fruits you shall know them. In other words, there has to be something in it that verifies that we are in it together. Even your salvation, I cannot tell that you are saved. You cannot tell that I'm saved. Oh, yes, you can tell. How can you tell? Not by what I say, not by what you say. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, it says, listen, you need to understand that God has this thing of producing good works through us to confirm that we have had the faith to receive the grace by which we are saved. It is. But by grace, we've been saved, and that is through faith, and we can only tell that we are saved by the production of good works. I feel like preaching. Here it is. I want to challenge you today. Never assume what you can verify. See, people can tell you a lot of stuff that they can claim, that they are, that they can do. Don't assume it. Verify it. I'm glad you said that, but can I verify? Joshua went into an unnecessary covenant with the Gibeonites in Joshua chapter 9. Read the chapter. It will amaze you. Simply because of these few words, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. And they went into a relationship and they did not ask counsel of the Lord. In other words, they went into a relationship by assumption, but they did not verify the relationship with the Lord. I want to challenge you today, wherever you are. Don't trust people. Listen, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all that heart. Never enter a relationship by assumption when you can verify the relationship. And when you verify, don't deny the truth that comes from. See, people don't want to verify because sometimes we're so much in love with our dream killers that we don't want to discover that they are who we have always thought they were. Sometimes, what do you do when you're in love with a bad thing? What do you do when you're in love with your dream killer? What do you do when you are so much addicted to the pain causer when you can verify and move on in peace? It matters. Don't assume what you can verify. And here's number two. Then I'm out of here. You ready? It is. Make your learning greater than your preference and your practice. Now, this is deep. I'm just sharing with you principles that I'm using in my life at this moment. The second half of my life is simply guided by principles and values. That's it. That's it. No feelings here. No, I want to be a man of God who is guided by principles and values. I want to have values I'm willing to suffer for, values I'm willing to die for, and principles I'm willing to give my life to. I've discovered you can simplify your life. All the heroes we celebrate, all the people we thank God for, Jesus was a man of principle and values. Mahatma Gandhi was a man of principles and values. Martin Luther King was a man of principles and values. Martin Luther, the reformer, principles and values. Nelson Mandela, principles and values. Every person, man and woman who ever made a difference in this world were driven by principles and values and never by feelings. Here's number two, make your learning greater than your preference and your practice. Your preference can destroy your learning. Your preference can destroy your learning. And I want to talk to a few of us, few who are here on this line, especially we Christians. Sometimes we read Christianity into everything. Sometimes we make our preferences Christianity. And sometimes we make our practices Christianity. No, Christianity is not your preference. Christianity is not your practice. Your practice and your preference is not principle. Christianity, the gospel, is Jesus the Christ dying on the cross, getting up early Sunday morning to save you. That's the gospel. You need to doubt the obvious in your life in order for you to go to the next level. So here it is. Make your learning greater than your preference. Because all of us have preferences. And if you're not careful, you're not obeying the word of God, you are simply flowing in the love of your preferences. And for some of you watching me right now, you just do what is good because it's your practice. It's your cultural practice. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. See, many of us have never experienced God for ourselves because our preferences and our practices, they are so strong that we can still do good without any Bible verse backing us up because we were raised in a way that good is esteemed above bad. All right, let me talk to you a little bit. Let me give you an illustration of this. Always make your learning greater than your preference. All right. I'll give you an example. All of us have got preferences. Okay. Whatever church you go to, that's your preference of a church. Okay. I want to say this to you. Your church is not Christianity. Okay. Jesus Christ is no denomination. There is no Jesus denomination. I want you to understand that. Every denomination came into existence as it emphasized something that they felt was being left out by the others who had come before them. I want you to understand this. Martin Luther, the reformer, came with Reformation, and some people became Lutherans. They were Lutherans because they followed the teachings of Luther. Luther didn't want a church after his own name. And you want to understand the church, an Anglican church, it is the English church. It is the Church of England. And you need to understand it was formed after the king divorced his wife, married somebody else, and the Pope, the Catholic Church, could not take that. So the Anglican church was formed because the king of England was about to be kicked out of Rome. I wanted to understand this. Here's something very important. There are so many preferences that we have. Preferences that we have. Some of the stuff we do is nothing to do with the word. You cannot find it in the word, but it is systematic in your preferential belief system. Make your learning greater than your preference. See, if your friends think like you, do church like you, talk like you, you will be harder on anyone who is not like you. There's so many good people out there, but I have discovered that every church thinks they got what it takes, and every church thinks everybody must come into their church, and we are missing out on what God wants us to do because we are making our preference and our practice greater than our learning. Child of God, if you're going to grow in the things of God, you need to make your learning greater than your preference and your practice. All right, let me give you an example here. I woke up this morning talking to my best friend, and something that I discovered, I said, it's very amazing. I grew up in Africa. And in Africa, football in Africa was soccer. Okay? Football was soccer. And because we grew up with soccer, every boy, every girl knew how to play soccer. All right. Then I came to America, and when I came to America, I discovered there is American football. In American football, you don't kick the ball. Only one person is called the kicker. The rest of you don't kick the ball, but it is football. And one thing I discovered when I got here, my first few days in America, I couldn't understand. I didn't know how the game was played. I didn't know the rules. I didn't understand why there was a big hype on football. And then it dawned on me that the more I started learning about football, American football. Because here's what happens. When you don't learn, when you make your preference greater than your learning, you're going to judge everything that you don't know. I was judgmental about it. I remember talking to some of my friends, how can you call it football when foot, it's your feet, and your foot, it need to be on the ball. I mean, we were so judgmental. Right now, my favorite football is American football. You know why? I discovered every boy and girl who was born in America, they know American football. So I get to a place where it was known. The soccer football I know from Africa, and the American football that I now know in America, the issue is my preference and my practice. Okay, American football was never played in Africa where I grew up. And in America, where I am, they soccer football, and it's not as popular as American football. So what you're dealing with here is preference and practice. So you got to learn and evolve in order for you to appreciate new things that come your way. So I want to challenge you in a very special way on this. Make your learning greater than your preference. Even in your marriage. There are so many people who are married to so many good people, and you complain and fuss every day. When you are married to a good person, you better be grateful over that thing. Some of your preference is how your mother and father used to love each other. That's not what all married people do. You need to learn. Ask the love language of your spouse. Get to know what it is that they like. Get to know what is it that makes them tick, that makes them mad. I mean, when you learn, the world becomes your classroom. You can go anywhere and kick it with anybody because everybody got something to teach you in their lives. Same thing with our children. If you have got kids out there, make your learning greater than your preference and greater than your practice. I was raised in Africa. There's a certain way that my parents dealt with me. I've got American kids now, and my kids and my African kids. Let me tell you something. It's amazing. I was raised in one preferential parental way and one special preferential practice way. There was a thing that parents do, and there was a thing that kids do. Now I'm in America. In order for me to survive here and make it happen with my kids, let me tell you, my kids question everything. Sometimes they just, listen, I've received the most painful pain from my kids over very simple things, and I'm learning to discover that sometimes I am hurting because of my preference. I am hurting because of my practice instead of me learning how to apply the principle in this new environment that I'm in. Because my kids have never been raised in Africa, so they question everything. I remember one day, I'm about to, I got to my daughter's, room, and I wanted to enter the room, and I saw right there was a big old written with a second grader handwriting, knock before you enter. I said, what in the world? She was in third grade. Knock before you enter. And I heard a knock. And she took her time. And finally, she came to the door and said, yes, Daddy. I said, oh, what's going on here? She said, well, it's just rules. Just got rules for myself. When I was coming up, you would not do that kind of stuff. Having rules. I mean, it wasn't your house. But here's what it is. Make your learning greater than your preference. Sometimes it's not as bad as you think it is. Sometimes you are just addicted to your preference and your practice that you are sacrificing a new discovery that could be yours to love and to celebrate and to enjoy. Differences make us attractive to one another. But preferences and practice, they have their own place, but don't make them the guiding principles for your life. You need to rise above your preference. You need to rise above your practice so that you can fall in love with the principle of the Word of God. The Bible is not a preference. The Bible is not a practice. The Bible is principle. In other words, the Bible is not American because Jesus was not American. The Bible is not British because it wasn't written in England. You need to understand it was written in a very small space. You're talking of Jews. You're talking of the Israelis and all that kind of small little space where it all happened there. So when you read the Bible, you're going to discover that it's not your preferences that the Bible talks about. It's not your practices that the Bible talks about. You need to understand the practice and the preference of where it was written, and you may never know that because you're not about to get an MD for you to get into the background of every Bible story. So you need to be careful that when you read the Bible, you don't read your preference and your practice into the Bible. Make your learning greater than your preference and your practice. Learn. Mm-hmm. Don't be quick to make absolutes. Learn and keep on learning. Rise above, yes, sir, above your preference and your practice. I'm telling you right now, you as God makes you and fixes you and takes you where he's taking you, you are going to be learning every day. I was studying that proverb, that Psalm 23. where David writes, the Lord is my shepherd. I thought he wrote that book when he was young. Then I discovered he wrote that song when he was an old man. Keep on learning. Keep on learning. Make your learning greater than your preference. Make your learning greater than your practice. Yes, I prefer that. But what can I learn in this situation? Yes, this is what we do where I come from. But what can I learn in this situation? You are going to discover the world is always teaching every day to those who are hungry enough to learn. Don't destroy good things in your life. As the month of April is coming to an end and the month of May is coming into being, pray for a teachable heart. Pray for a teachable spirit. Your wife can teach you some things. Your husband can teach you some things. Your children can teach you, even your enemies, can teach your friends. I mean, everybody knows something that I need that I don't know. Or as long as I'm open, I can learn. So two principles, then I'm out of there. Read Joshua chapter 9 and it will bless you real good when it comes to these things. Never assume what you can verify. All right. If you're going to make it in your next, you know, solving problems, minimizing problem mistakes, making on purpose, never assume what you can verify. If anybody's mad at you that you want to verify before you agree with them, that's your answer. They are not good for you. Anybody who is offended with you verifying what they're telling you, it means they're lying to you and it means they're no good for you. There are so many people in our lives who thrive on us making assumptions. Because if you were to verify, like Joshua didn't do in Joshua chapter 9, you'll discover that the Gibeonites are your neighbors. Only 3 days, you'll meet them. But they had lied to him that they had traveled for a long time. And because he didn't verify with the Lord, he got into a covenant relationship which forced and caused him an unnecessary war that made him to pray a prayer that we celebrate. And yet it was an unnecessary prayer if only he had verified before assuming. Because when Joshua prayed, "Sun, stand still," it was because he was fighting to protect the Gibeonites, which he entered into a covenant relationship with, because he assumed and he didn't verify. Be careful of battles and fights that are not yours, but will become yours because you are assuming stuff and you are not verifying stuff. Before I finish, don't have unnecessary enemies. There are some people who have done you no wrong in your life. But because of assumptions, there are so many people that you may not like who don't even know that you don't like them. Assumptions destroys good things. And when you can verify, you preserve good things. Don't jump to that conclusion. You may be surprised that you may be sacrificing somebody who is for you. Or you may be blessing somebody who is not for you. And that happens a lot because many of us, we assume more than we are willing to verify. Blessings on you, my friends. Yes, we can minimize making mistakes on purpose if we stop assuming what we can verify. And when we make our learning greater than our preferences and our practices, life becomes a little bit better. Blessings on you. Here comes our prayer. Father, thank you so much for this moment. Bless my brothers and sisters as they continue with this discussion wherever they are. We are so grateful that, Lord, all we need is wisdom and understanding. Help us to be men and women of principles and values as we live our lives on purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessings on you, my friends. Have a great one. See you again tomorrow, same time. Progress on purpose.